You guys excited? You excited? What are you excited for? What are you most excited for Christmas? You don't know? You know, I love the lights. Last night we went on our family has a tradition of going out on a light scavenger hunt, and each family hops in a car. You have about an hour. You have a list of things that you have to mark off, and you're driving around neighborhoods like crazy. And the first person back that has all their stuff marked off is the winner, which is always Riley and Anthony's family. Always, every time. Every time. I don't know how they beat us every year, but they do. We're always like, this year's gonna be our year. No, it's not. What are some of the other things that you look for? You like the tree? You like having a tree in your house? Is that kind of cool? Like, no, there's very, very seldom do you have like a tree in your house, right? You have what in your house? You have a tree in your house? Oh, you have a Christmas tree in your window? Okay. And then you have lights and the food. I really enjoy Christmas breakfast and Christmas lunch, having family, which we're not going to have much of this year, I know. But getting together with people and opening presents. I love watching my kids get up on Christmas morning and being excited about opening their presents. And all this stuff is fun stuff to think about, right? You got a Christmas Lego set? Oh, you got one of the advent calendar. Yeah, we did the Star Wars one. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff to look forward to at Christmas. And it kind of reminds me of a story of a little boy. Have you guys been to the circus before? No. Back in the day, when they had the circus come to town, they would parade through the town as an advertisement because they didn't have commercials on TV and stuff like that. They would put up posters, and they'd have this big parade that would come through the town and with all the animals and acts and everything and get everybody excited about coming to the circus. And there's a young boy who was on his way home from school and saw on a shop front, he saw a poster that was announcing the circus was going to be coming to town. And he was super excited. He wanted to go to the circus, and tickets were $1. And he was super excited about that. And he ran all the way home, and he talked to his dad, and he said, Dad, he's like, the circus is coming to town, and I really want to go. And he says, the tickets are $1. Can I have $1? And his dad's like, well, he said, I'll tell you what, you work hard the rest of this week, you get all your chores done, and I'll give you $1 to go. And so Saturday morning came, and he got up super early, and he got all of his chores done. And he ran to his dad and said, Dad, I got my chores done. And his dad said, well, good job. Here's your $1. So he grabs his $1 and he runs to town, and he is so early, he's on the front row of the street ready for this parade. And in comes the circus parade, and the animals come through, and he's super excited about seeing some lions and tigers. Some of the acts come through, so he's seeing some of the acrobats and various things. And then last up comes the clowns, right? And you like clowns? Sometimes clowns are scary, right? I don't know why, but he's excited because they're acting funny and they're being silly, and last comes the ringmaster down the street, and he's bringing up the rear, and the little boy is so excited, and he runs up in the middle, at the end of this parade, to this ringmaster, and he hands him his $1, and he says, thank you so much, that was a great circus, and he turns around and he goes home. What happened? Did he miss something? He was so excited, and he saw the parade, but he missed the whole circus. The parade was just the announcement. The parade was just to get everybody excited about it, but he missed the circus. He missed the whole main point. And it's so easy to get excited around Christmas time about all the things that are going on, about having family over. It's easy to get excited about the lights and the tinsel and the tree and the presents that are starting to show up under the tree. It's so easy to get excited about all that and to miss the circus, to miss the whole point. There's a lot that goes on. We've commercialized a lot of Christmas, but the whole point is to get us excited that Jesus came here to save us. Amen. The whole thing, all the lights, all the presents, is to get us excited, to have that feeling of excitement that Jesus came. And we don't want to forget that this season. Thank you, brother.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody here today. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Luke, if you will, please. Luke chapter 2, 21 through 32 is going to be our text today. We're going to be talking about a gift worth waiting for this morning. Certainly good to see everybody here today. We have some that have returned with us today. Russ Mathis is back with us, having to deal with his back over the past several weeks. I saw Carrie come walking in. So glad to have Carrie Fox with us today. In the very back there, we also have Mary Schramm back there in the back. We're so thankful that she's with us. As we know that she's had this terrible car accident, and she's still dealing with that. And you see her eye all patched up with that. And we're so thankful that Mary is here. Also, I see Marcia, and I see Marlene, and I see Richard. And so glad to have everybody back with us. You know, it's when our family's not here, you know, there is truly a void that is there. You agree with that? There is a void, and it's good to have our family back with us again. Again, we're talking about a gift worth waiting for. You know, waiting to open Christmas gifts on Christmas morning is pretty tough for children. And for some adults, for that matter. And when it comes to those special gifts, many children start asking pretty early what they want for Christmas, and often by writing Santa, you know, telling him, this is what I want you to give me for Christmas this year. And I came across actual letters that children have written to Santa. I just want to kind of share these with you. Dear Santa Claus, when you come to my house, there will be cookies for you, but if you are really hungry, you can use our phone and order pizza to go. Dear Santa, I'll take anything because you and me know that I haven't been all that good. Just don't tell Dad. Dear Santa Claus, be sure to read my whole letter this time. Last year, you gave me only 3 things on my list. Don't let it happen again. I think that's the last year that kid got anything, I believe. Dear Santa, since you know when I'm sleeping and when I'm awake and know other stuff, can you tell me where my black leggings are? I lost them. Dear Santa Claus, I heard Mrs. Claus on TV say that you are getting too fat. So this year, we're not going to give you cookies and milk. In my house, you're going to have celery and water. Boy. Dear Santa Claus, I'm not going to ask for a lot. Here's my list. I want 2 packs of number 2 pencils. Also an Xbox with fighting games, the newest iPhone, and my own big screen TV. Well, maybe just drop the pencils. I don't want to be selfish. Okay. You know, Christmas Day comes with anticipation for most of us. And it may mean that maybe that you can hardly wait to have that, to open that special gift that you've been eyeing under the Christmas tree. Or maybe the anticipation comes from waiting for a loved one to want loved one's visit that you haven't seen in quite a while. Or maybe you long for the enjoyment of sitting around the, you know, the Christmas dinner table with family and friends. And when we are expecting something, I think it's pretty hard to wait. You agree with that? I mean, you're expecting and it's hard to wait. We want it now. And when we finally get it, you know, and hold that precious item in our hands, well, most of the time it was really worth the wait. Now, in our text this morning, we find someone who was characterized by expectation. His name was Simeon. And as we considered Simeon, there are 3 aspects to the story that will give us reason to rejoice. But let's read the background to the story. It goes like this, and I want you to follow with me in Luke chapter 2, 21 through 24, if you will, please. This is the background to our story. On the 8th day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Last week we talked about the name Jesus. What does the name Jesus mean? Can you remember? Okay, we're going to go back and preach last week's sermon. His name means the Lord saves. Say that with me. The Lord saves. Does anybody ever ask you, what does the name Jesus mean? Say, the Lord saves. And that's what his name means. So it says they were to name him Jesus. And when the time of the purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice by keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Okay. I want us to look here from this particular passage here. Again, this is the background to our story about sinning. And we learn here that there are two reasons that Joseph and Mary went to Jerusalem. Now, Bethlehem was about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Okay? 8 days earlier, the baby Jesus was born. 8 days have come. They are now taking them to be circumcised. But there are two reasons. Number one is for Mary's purification. That's the first reason. Mary's purification. According to Leviticus chapter 12, under the law of Moses, a woman who became pregnant and gave birth to a son or daughter was ceremonially unclean. And as a rule, a woman had to be purified from her bleeding. And by offering a sacrifice, she was permitted once again to enter into the sanctuary. So they are there for Mary's purification. Number two, the second reason is because they were to consecrate the firstborn son, which according to the law of Moses, belonged to God. So again, in consecrating their son, they had to bring a sacrifice. And according to Leviticus 12, the law made provisions for poor people to sacrifice two doves or two pigeons if they were unable to provide a lamb. And Joseph and Mary, being poor, offered the birds as their sacrifice. Now this brings us to our story. I want to take a look at Simeon's response to the Christ child. Number one, his response is anticipation. Number one, anticipation. Say this with me. Anticipation. Once again, anticipation. Look at verses 25 and 26. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, the hope of Israel, which is the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, we don't know a lot about Simeon. In fact, Luke chapter 2 reveals the only thing that we do know about him, but yet it speaks volumes about this man. First of all, Simeon was a good man. He was a good man. He was righteous and devout. He was devoted to praying to God, to reading God's word and meditating on the word of God. But the text also emphasizes that this is a man of the Spirit. In fact, it described it in different ways, that the Spirit was upon him, the Spirit was in him, the Spirit moved him, and the Spirit revealed to him that he would see the Messiah. And what an amazing revelation. I mean, for centuries, Jews were anticipating the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Christ. And people had lived and died looking for the Christ to enter the world, and yet this man named Simeon, that we know very little about, has been told by God that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointing. But can you imagine waiting for and anticipating that gift to come, that gift to be opened? How amazing would that be? Again, we get excited when opening presents on Christmas morning, hoping that special something that we've been wanting for months, it's finally revealed under the decorative paper. You know, we're excited about that. But yet no gift under our tree minutely compares to the gift of God's Son entering the world. Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that? Amen? Nothing compares to the gift of God's Son. And like us, the coming of Christ to the Jews meant freedom, and it also meant salvation. Every Jew was looking for his coming, but Simeon is told that he will see Christ in his lifetime. Now, we don't know for sure when God revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he saw the Christ child. Had he been waiting for months, for years, for decades? Again, we don't know. But I'm sure that every day he woke up anticipating that maybe today may be the day that Christ finally enters the world. And undoubtedly, each new day was met with joyful expectation, not knowing for sure how the Christ would appear, how he would even recognize him, but he knew that God would reveal that to him. However it was, he knew that God revealed it to him. But you know, we're left with the impression that this is a patient man. I mean, he has been living in expectation. He had been looking and focusing, on the Christ child to finally come into the world. He'd been anticipating the Lord's Messiah, and every day brought him that much closer for his coming, every single day. But then secondly, we see here within Simeon, adulation. Say that with me, adulation. Let's go on and read verses 27 to 28. Just follow with me. And it says here, moved with by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. And praised God. Now again, we don't know what Simeon was really looking for in his own mind. Perhaps he was expecting a king to come out of the sky. It could be that he was expecting a warrior to come and finally defeat the Roman Empire. And though we don't know what he was expecting, we do know that when Joseph and Mary showed up with Jesus, he knew. He knew that this was the child. Now I want you to envision this elderly man moving slowly up the temple steps. Pausing a moment to rest. He felt moved by the Holy Spirit to go into the temple courts. And this wasn't Simeon's normal time to come to the temple. But yet he felt compelled to be there, beckoned, if you will. The temple steps were a busy place for buyers and sellers of sacrifices. Beggars, camped out on the steps crying out, alms, alms, alms for the poor. The students and scholars scurried to and fro, some coming to learn, others coming to teach, all with a harried intellectual look. And then there were the people who came to make sacrifices. The sellers were crying out that they had the purest lambs. We are the purest lambs, the purest doves. And you hear the baying of the lambs and the cooing of the doves. The buyers looking at the animals and trying to quiet the children and babies that they held on to. And all of this were really kind of like soft murmurs and noises of comfort. I mean, can you feel the chaos that was going on this particular day? Do you hear the noise? Can you sense it? What was happening as Simeon comes to the temple? Now, Simeon, of course, was no stranger to the temple, to the comings and goings of the people, the rituals of the courtyard. Suddenly, in the midst of this vast crowd of people, a young couple with a small baby catches his eye. And they're like so many other couples there on this particular day, coming to purify the mother, to consecrate the child of God, a child to God that was born 8 days earlier. The couple was poor, having only doves and pigeons to sacrifice. There was nothing about that couple that, anyone would notice. It was nothing about him that would draw Simeon to them. He feels, however, the tug of the Holy Spirit, and suddenly it dawns on him that this is the day that he had been anticipating. I mean, the baby that this poor couple is holding is God's son. As Joseph and Mary approached the temple to consecrate Jesus to God, as was required by law, Simeon reaches out. I want you to kind of envision this. Here's Joseph and Mary carrying baby Jesus, walking up the steps of the temple, and Simeon comes to them and reaches out for the tiny baby. And for some reason that Mary and Joseph may not have understood, they place their baby son, God's son, into the hands of a stranger. Simeon is awestruck, for he knew deep within his heart and soul that the baby he was holding was the Messiah, the Son of God. I mean, all that he had longed for was finally come. The wait is over. And can you imagine, you know, what it must have been like for him? I can see him knowing and then moving quickly toward Mary and Joseph. I can see his eyes filled with tears of joy. I see him, you know, with quivering hands and a trembling body reaching out to take the baby from Mary's arms and then who she carefully hands over to him. I see him taking that child from Mary and just gazing at him. You know, blessing and worshiping God and adoring, you know, that this helpless infant he was cradling and knowing for certain that this is God's son. That's who he had been waiting for. But then thirdly, we see acclamation. Say that with me. Acclamation. Let's read on. Again, verse 28, it says, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. What are you saying? It's just, okay, as you promised, I saw the Lord, now I can die. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Now, as Simeon holds Jesus, he knows that salvation has come. What does the name Jesus mean?
The Lord saves.
He knew as he's holding Jesus that salvation has come. Amen?
Amen?
That's what he knows. This is the one. He is the one. Yes, yes, it may be strange that it came as a baby. Was that what he was expecting, a baby? I mean, how can one know the future of one so new and so small? But Simeon knows this baby is the one. This baby is the one through whom God would save his people. Amen? That's who he is. And it's amazing to me what God's revealed to Simeon about this little baby that he's holding. He knows that through Jesus, salvation has come. Now I don't know if he really knew how it was going to come. I mean, does he does speak of the heartache that Mary will experience in verse 35. He talks about her heartache that she is going to be going through. Did he fully understand the hostility that Jesus would endure? Did he know about the persecution, the beatings, the torture, the crucifixion? Did he understand that salvation could not come without the cross? Did Simeon understand that? Now, I don't know what Simeon understood, but most importantly, he knew that God was going to use his son Jesus to bring salvation. And he also knows that salvation is for everyone. Did you notice what he said? He knows that it's for everyone, for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Here he is holding this little baby, and he says that salvation has come for a light for the Gentiles as well as the hope for the Jews. And with the Jewish mindset, salvation that comes through the Messiah would never, never, never include Gentiles. They were nothing but pagans. That's who they were. It would never include Gentiles. They were not the chosen people of God. They were despised by the Jews, and they believed that God despised them too. And yet here is Simeon holding Jesus in his hands and talks about salvation coming to the Gentiles. And by the way, you Gentiles out here, aren't you glad that salvation came through Jesus? Amen? Because we wouldn't be here worshiping God today, believe me. But yet salvation came through Christ for all people, for the entire world. And while holding this Christ child in his arms, Simeon knows that salvation is for all. And he praises God for it. He praises God for keeping his promise and allowing him to see Christ. And now he's ready to die. He's ready to die. I mean, what a privilege that had been afforded him. He'd been waiting patiently for this day, and finally it had come. And now he can go in peace because he had seen and held the Christ who brings salvation to the world. I want to encourage you today to be like Simeon. I want to encourage you to live in anticipation of Jesus. I mean, do you really long for Jesus? You know, when Christmas finally gets here, you know, in what, 5 days? 5 days from the day, Christmas is going to finally be here. Is it going to be a day of anticipation for you, or are you ready for it to be over, you know, with all the shopping, the rushing, the preparation that often gets you down long before the holiday even gets here? But amidst all the fun and food with family and friends, don't forget about Jesus. Because you see, without Jesus, there is no celebration of Christmas. Amen? There is no celebration. Starting today and every day, through Christmas and every new day thereafter that God grants you, don't forget to anticipate Jesus and his coming. Because he is a gift worth waiting for. Amen? Amen. A gift worth waiting for. I want to ask you today, and I'd like for you to just kind of speak up. To 2020, we're coming to the close of 2020. Amen? Amen. Coming to the close of 2020. And this has been a tough year. A tough year for many of us. For the things that we've been through. I mean, we're still in the midst of a pandemic. Did you realize that? It's still going on. It's still going on. They call it now an insurgence. We see the numbers and we see the increase and things that are happening today. We see it all. And all of these certainly concern us, and you know, the things that we've been through. The other day, Russ sent out, I think it was a text, might have been an email, I forget, but to the elders and staff, and he talks about Christmas looking different this year. And so what I want to ask you is, how is your Christmas going to look different this year? And I'd like for just people to share with me, how's your Christmas going to look different this year? Can anybody share? How's it going to look different? Anybody share? Is this going to be the same? Yeah, Janine?
Be with all my extended family.
Okay, can't be with them this year. Okay, anybody else? How's it going to look different? Say it again?
Yeah, with us, with the family, we're going to celebrate together on Zoom on the computer because we just don't feel safe in a large group of us. That's not going to be Zoom, we're going to Facebook.
And, sure. Okay.
And
being with the family. Okay.
So we canceled the trip to Mexico.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Wanted to visit, you know, with his family there, but canceled the trip. Yes.
Won't be cooking because there won't be a gathering.
Okay. No gathering, no cookings, because that's certainly different this year. Anyone else? How's Christmas going to look different this year? Going to be doing stuff outside this year. Is your mom going to be involved in that? Your mother-in-law? Okay, she going to be involved? Good. Mike, your hand was up. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. We are trying to do Christmas the same. We've been through a lot. Brenda's had the COVID. My family, Shonda's husband, Jeff, had the COVID. All these things here. The baby has had COVID. I mean, it's all this stuff that's been going on. They are now out of quarantine. My Shonda and her family are now out of quarantine as of yesterday. So we're thankful for that. Yeah, let's praise God for that. Things are doing well. Yes?
Well, I think when is it Christmas?
This Friday. Yes.
Because we haven't held him very much.
Absolutely.
Cuddle with him.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Had only one day of that. So yeah. She said, we can't wait to finally have our great-grandson. He's a little over a month old now. And I'm going to tell you, his first month of his life had been met with one challenge after another. Now, his dad had the same problems when he was born, with issues. In fact, his dad was actually pronounced dead as a baby. But within was revived. So his dad been through that too. The other day, we were talking about that at an elders and staff meeting, and Don Martyr said, man, that boy is going to be a bear, when he found out that he also has, had the COVID virus. And I mean, the first week of his life, he had to have surgery, they cut him open because his bowels were twisted, and they had to go in there, making sure that was working properly, was having some issues with that. And then he got the virus on top of all of that, and all of these concerns that we've had, certainly. But this year, we are going to have our family there. And just praying for God, praying for the safety. Our granddaughter from Chicago is coming in, and so she's going to be there as well to join us. And there'll be some precautions as people come in. You walk around our house and you're going to find, antibacterial hand stuff everywhere, all the hand sanitizer everywhere. And, we just go and just start, pumping and go on, because it's just there and all these things that's happening. But one thing that we are going to do different this year, because we do have our first great grandbaby, is that during our Christmas holiday, we are going to dedicate him to the Lord this year on Christmas. And so this is something we're going to be doing. I'm going to talk to his parents, Shaylee, my granddaughter, and Matt, her husband, and about this and what we want to do to something kind of special that we're going to do on that Christmas morning. Because just celebrating that he's all right, and all the things that he's been through, and dedicating him to the Lord. And so that's one thing that we'll be doing on Christmas morning. A special Christmas that we're looking forward to. We need to always keep that focus on Jesus and our Christmases, to keep the focus on him. And for some of you who can't have family this year, I feel for you. I do. I feel for you. Having a canceled trip to Mexico to see Nathan and the family, that was certainly difficult for the Rostons to do. And, and having to spend Christmas on Zoom, and online, with your family, and how tough that is. But regardless of where family is, we know that we love to be with them. But we will all be together somewhere, still celebrating the birth of our Son, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And that's what we'll be doing. And that's where our focus is. We're going to be singing an invitation song in just a moment here. During this invitation song, it's just a way, once again, to let you know that we are here to pray for you. We are here to, if you want to talk to us about your relationship with God and wanting to give your life to Jesus Christ, we want to talk to you about that. If you're just struggling, this has been a year of struggles, and you're just struggling, you want us to be praying for you, we want to do that this morning. Because, we're family. We're family. And we want to be here and let you know that we are here for you, In a pandemic or not a pandemic, we are here for you because we love you and we care for you so much. And so if we can help you, if we can pray for you, whatever we can do this morning, we want you to come as together we stand and we sing.